Ribeiro to the right half boards now, holding the puck. Put it beside the net. A backdoor shot. What a save by Scott Darling. Oh, my. That was a setup of the year for the Predators. Wilson fed it across the crease to a wide-open Ryan Ellis, who had creeped down from the left point, and he got away a stiff shot, but Darling shut the door. That's the save of the game for the Hawks.
That, of course, John Wideman with the call from the Predators series. Man, that seems like it was forever ago at this point. Of course, Scott Darling came up huge in that series to help the Blackhawks advance, and he joins us now as we are broadcasting live from the 8th annual Chicago Blackhawks convention at the Hilton Chicago. This is The Beat. Adam Hogue, Mark Carman, Connor McKnight, Troy Murray's with us as well, and Scott Darling has just sat down here to have a little bit of a conversation with us. And Scott, that series against Nashville, as I said, I mean, it seems like it's forever ago now, but that was a huge part of the playoff run, though. I mean, those games where you came in and kind of gave the team a boost at that point, which I guess is kind of the name of your job at that point.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of what I'm supposed to do. It's be on call, be ready to go. You never really know when you're going to get that chance. And fortunately, got in there, and I'm just thrilled to contribute to the championship.
Now, be honest.
Yeah, go ahead. Give it an applause.
Be honest now. You know, you had your day with the cup, took everything back home, went to Lamont. I believe you had the childhood street named after you, too, or renamed?
Yeah, the street I lived on for a long time in Lamont. I guess they changed it to Scott Darling Avenue or something like that. So
I guess the street named after. I got to imagine that after all that, it's, you know, and I believe you're training in Boston, all this kind of stuff. I believe that when your head hits the pillow, you can be pretty satisfied with the last handful of months that you've gone through. I mean, think about where you started this Blackhawks season to where you are right now, sitting in front of all these wonderful people. I mean, there's plenty of things on your resume already.
Yeah, you know, I couldn't have scripted this year any better. It was an amazing honor just to sign with the organization. Last summer, I was just getting ready to play for the Ice Hogs. I was trying to, I had a great goalie partner there, Michael Layton, that I was trying to steal some ice time from and get some starts. And I was focused on that and just working hard, trying to do the right things. And I was lucky enough to get the opportunity early in the season to come up and actually play my first NHL game in October. And, you know, that was an amazing experience. And then the rest of the year has been awesome. And then obviously the playoffs were just a heck of a ride. And it was awesome to get in there and then just to learn and be a part of it and then obviously to win. It was just incredible.
Scott, in talking to you after the game against the Nashville Predators and then getting the opportunity a couple games to get the start, what's going through your mind? Was it harder to come in relief in the game, the first game, or knowing that you were going to start a couple games from then?
You know, it's just two very different situations. Getting thrown in like that, it's definitely not easy. But
you weren't expecting it.
I was not expecting it. I was just ready to have a great seat for the playoffs. But no, I mean, things happen, and like you said, it's the name of the game for me is to be ready to go whenever I get the call. And you know, like I said, I was just thrilled that I could come in and do my job. And you know, it kind of trailed off there at the end of game six, but Corey came in and, you know, did for me what I did for him in the first game, and we finished off the series, and, you know, it was a lot of fun.
I just love your story. I mean, the Louisiana Ice Skaters, the Mississippi River Kings, the Florida Everblades, the Wichita Thunder, the Wheeling Nailers, the Hamilton Bulldogs, Milwaukee Admirals, Cincinnati Cyclones, Rockford Ice Hogs. I mean, everybody's got their own battle. But some people, they give up. You didn't. You stayed with it. You kept battling. And you made it in your hometown to win a cup. I mean, you just deserve a ton of props.
Yeah, I mean, literally, like I said, you couldn't script it any better than the way it worked out. You know, it was a fun 4 years chasing this dream to get to the NHL. And, you know, I met a lot of great people. And it wasn't just me who got me here. You know, people supported me and took chances on me, coaches, and, you know, I have a great agent and goalie coach and all these people to help me along the way. And, you know, it's a victory for them too. And you know, but hopefully we're not done yet. We got a lot left.
Okay, awesome. So of all those places Carmen just listed there, what was the worst?
The worst?
I mean, just in terms of location. And then was there one of those towns that actually was surprisingly a cool place to play?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say there was a worst one, but probably the most unique living situation was when I played in Wheeling, West Virginia for the Wheeling Nailers. We lived in like log cabins in the woods. And
wow. You're kidding.
No, I'm not. That actually happened. And like deer would come up and eat our garbage every day. And like it was just like crazy. And it's kind of in a remote area too. So that probably wasn't the greatest, but I loved playing there. Like the team was great. We had a great group of guys. And then the one place that I played, Louisiana, was actually surprisingly awesome. Like Lafayette, it's a fun town.
Yes,
it
is.
I got in some trouble there.
So wait, the log cabins, I mean, we're not talking running water and electricity in these places, right? I mean, you got...
Barely.
Okay. Yeah. Good Lord. Let me ask you this. We were talking about this before we sat down and got on air here. Talking with Scott Darling, Blackhawks backup goaltender and savior of the Nashville Predator series. You all remember that. Wondering... Every time you do that, you get a couple of those. You mentioned that people come up to you or have come up to you over the last little bit, say, oh, you're so thin. You're not as big as we thought you are because of the pads and whatnot. What do you think is the biggest misconception about today's goalie, about the guy who plays that position throughout the league today?
It's kind of, I feel like it's changed recently, but people have the, you know, they think goalies are like the out of shape guy or the,
sure.
You know, the guy who couldn't play forward, so he's just playing goalie.
Or the guy that's not all there.
Well, that's true. That's true. The crazy part is the actual factor in it all. But, yeah, I mean, we're just like any other athlete. Like, we have I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but it's a pretty hard position to play. Like, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of things you got to worry about. A lot of – it's very quick, and you got to be quick and agile and have stamina and all these things. And, you know, so we're not just the lazy guy who couldn't hack it anymore.
Well, and the mental game of that whole thing. I mean, it can get lonely back there, I imagine, if one goes in that shouldn't have gone in. I imagine that's something you got to really learn to conquer yourself.
Yeah, sometimes you're on an island back there, and yeah. It's a game within the game that, especially at the NHL level, like every goalie in the league is a tremendous athlete, full of skill and talent, but it's all between the ears, the guys who can do it every day and bring their best every game. But yeah, it's definitely... There's some negative sides of the job when you make a mistake and everybody is mad at you. That's not the best. So you got to learn how to have a short-term memory and just keep trucking forward.
I don't want to cause any controversy here, but you saw what you could do in the Nashville series, and you're a young guy. Does it ever, you know, spin around you, hey, you know, if I could get a chance to be an everyday guy, you know, play every game somewhere else, you know, that'd be something that I would be interested in because I want to see what I can do. You got a hell of a guy in front of you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not too worried about that right now. The position I'm in is I couldn't ask for a better spot to be in. Corey's a great guy, a great teammate, a great friend to me. And, you know, I'm going to push him every day. We push each other. I'm going to try and play as many games as I can next year, and so is he. And, you know, I'm here for two more years, and he's here for even longer. And if we're both doing the right things and both doing our job, it's going to be a pretty good problem for the team to have.
I know, Scott, that after the season was over, you win the Stanley Cup here. You get to bring it to your hometown. And Chicago, obviously, is very special to you. You did something after the season was over, and obviously there's a little bit of ink on your body here. Talk about the tattoo that was shown after the season was over that I believe your father has the same one.
His is a little bit different, but, yeah, he got one too. So, yeah, I mean, I have a bunch of tattoos already, and I've always wanted an excuse to get a Stanley Cup tattoo. And
you got one now.
Yeah, I have the best excuse ever. So right after we won, my friend Mike Figuera, he's actually sitting right down here, if you guys, that's a tattoo artist.
Give him a plug. Where's it at?
Yeah, it's in Sycamore, Spider Tattoos. Look him up, Fig Sig Arts.
There he is.
But we've been doing some other tattoos throughout the year, so this was a no-brainer. I called him right away. We worked out a design, and, you know, I had to be careful the way you do it because I didn't want to have a big Blackhawks logo on my arm because you never know what's going to happen with your career or anything like that. So, but fortunately for me, being from Chicago, I can give it a nice Chicago theme, have the skyline, Chicago flag, and the cup in there, and, you know, a little tribute to our friend Clint Reif, who... you know, he's no longer with us, but he had a big impact on me when I got to the team, and he was a great friend of mine, so I was happy to be able to get him in there too. And, you know, it's literally the greatest achievement I've ever had or may ever have in my life, so happy to remember it every day when I look in the mirror.
You should. There's a text that came in from the 7082. Scott says, "Can you thank Scott Darling for his donation to the Clint Rife Memorial Brunch and the USA Warriors Clint Rife event? Much appreciated. People really appreciate the fact that you're keeping the name out there and doing what you're doing."
We'll get to some of that and more with Scott. We got to take a quick timeout. We come back, though, we have questions from the audience that they have a bunch of questions for you as well. So another segment coming up with Scott Darling. You're listening to 720 WGN.
Hi, this is Andrew Shaw.
This is The Beat, live from the Blackhawks Convention.
720 WGN.
Sometimes I get a good feeling.
Welcome back to The Beat on 720 WGN. We are live at the Blackhawks Convention, and more than happy to be here, having a great time talking with Scott Darling of the Chicago Blackhawks. Troy Murray is here with us, too. We get a chance for fans, Blackhawks fans, to write down questions and ask them of Blackhawks players or us, but I'm sure you'd rather ask Scott Darling a question. Adam has the questions for you.
Yeah, this is from Janet from Tinley Park, who's here in the audience, and she wants to know, can you hear the chants and jeers from opposing teams?
Yes, I can. I'm pretty used to it by now. I mean, it doesn't really, like, mess with me at all, but you can definitely hear it. I mean, you're not paying attention during the play to that stuff, but, you know, maybe a TV timeout, you can hear people, you know, heckling you or whatever it is, but it's really no big deal.
We were talking a little bit about college hockey during the break up here, and I've noticed this, the difference between college and NHL. I feel like the fans at the college level are so much more creative when it comes to getting after the opposing goalie than in the NHL. The NHL, it's like they just cheer your name, and that's it. And it's like, well, that's not really getting in his head.
Well, I feel like college has the advantage of, like, the same fans going to the game every time.
Yeah,
so you build, like,
true.
A tradition a little bit. Like, I played at UMaine, and gosh, the goalies at the other end of the rink really got it pretty bad. They had plenty of different chants, and everybody knew it, you know, so the whole arena did it, and, you know, they all knew what time to do it, when to do it, and so I guess they probably have a little bit more of an advantage being, you know, fans at every game.
We talked with Andrew Shaw just a little while ago, and he mentioned the back and forth between him and Kari Lehtinen got a little heavy at one point this last season. I imagine the back and forth between anybody that's standing that close to you and smells that bad probably is pretty aggressive, right?
Yeah, I mean, Andrew definitely falls in that category, so.
I mean, you said it, I didn't. Is there one guy that's given it to you a little bit more than, I mean, verbally, just, you know, back and forth, or a guy you enjoy kind of going back and forth with?
I mean, it was my first year in the league, and I honestly didn't play that many games, so I haven't really ran into too much of that. I see the biggest pest that I ran into was probably Marshawn from the Bruins. And, you know, he came in, and he was, like, trying to do, you know, when the play is somewhere else, he's poking my feet, just stuff like that. Like, he knew I was, like, a rookie and
sure.
Nervous, and he was messing with me. But he was probably the only guy that really noticeably did anything to me.
I know you're a goaltender. You're sitting on the bench, and you're watching the series against the Anaheim Ducks, and you got a guy like Corey Perry out there, who every time he's going through the crease, there's contact being made. There's a little stick after the whistle, whatever it takes. How do you block that out and not focus on those type of players who are trying to get under your skin and get you off your game?
Yeah, I mean, you can't really engage them. I found, at least in my case, if I ever do engage guys like that, it usually doesn't turn out well for me. Takes my focus away from stopping the puck. But at the end of the day, you know, we're players too. Goalies aren't made of glass. Like, we can take a little bump and a little bump here and there. So,
got another question here. This is from Jake Smith, 12-year-old, a young goalie here in the audience. And he's wondering, what is your best advice for a young goalie? And also, what is your favorite and a least favorite goalie drill?
Okay. Advice for a young goalie is work on your skating. It's the most important thing you can do as a goalie. It's the foundation for everything else you do. If you're a good skater, you can figure out the rest. And just enjoy the ride. Enjoy playing hockey. It's a great sport. You know, just make sure you're having fun. So that would probably be the hockey part of it. And then favorite drill? I don't know, I like doing playing the puck drills. I like to, you know, dump ins, pass out, break out, sure. Pass, stuff like that. When they're not shooting the puck in my head, I like that. So, and least favorite drill would probably be at the end of practice, guys like to play a game called, like, rebound, where they shoot the puck on the goalie, and then there's five guys waiting for the rebound, and they just get to tic-tac-toe around and try and score, and it's first 1-10 wins. I do not like that game.
So. I don't blame you.
Back in the day, Kenny Yaremchuk, I don't know if anybody remembers the name Kenny Yaremchuk, would come down, and he was a first-round draft pick, and Tony Esposito was the goaltender. When Kenny came down, Tony basically put his blocker down between his legs and his gloves in front of his face because Kenny really had no idea where he was shooting the puck. Put somebody on the spot here. Who is the worst player
Bickle,
on the Blackhawks?
Bickle.
Has Bickle. No idea where it's going.
No, he loves the Buzz the Tower. He shoots him by my ears all the time. So he's the guy.
That was easy.
Yeah, Bickle. Right away. Bickle.
Right away, knew what he was doing. So we talk about superstition a little bit, too, as goaltenders. And I won't mention the goaltender, but I happened to be in the room once as a, you know, covering a game. And this guy's putting his pads on, one pad at a time, and puts it on, buckles them up, unbuckles them, puts the pad back down. Puts it on, buckles it up, unbuckles it, puts it back down. And I don't know what he was doing, but four times each pad he had to do this. And otherwise the goblins came out and ruined the game or something.
Right.
Do you have a superstition?
I have a few. Nothing too, I mean, like we've all admitted goalies are a little bit crazy. And, you know, I fall into that category. And I have a few little quirks that I do. People have noticed my like pregame routine when I go and hit the glass behind the net. That started this year. And
sure.
Started doing that and stuck with it. But I try not to do too much because then there's the fear of if you don't get your thing done, it's like it's going to mess up your mindset for the game. So I try and limit it.
That was one of the first things I noticed about you. And I like it, too. You just you run headfirst straight into the boards, basically. What started that?
Well, I was trying to explain it earlier. I don't really know. Like it started the first game I played for the Blackhawks, and I was just so excited, and I had so much energy, and like I didn't know what to do, and I just needed to like
just run yourself into the boards.
I needed to like just get it out, and I just went and just skated as hard as I could into the boards twice, and we won the game, so I've been doing it ever since.
All right.
Goalies are all there.
Let's talk the mental side of it. So let's say you give up a goal that you shouldn't have given up, and you're in that moment. Maybe it's on the row, the crowd's going crazy, and you've got to center yourself and be ready to make the next play, make the next save. What are you telling yourself that challenge? How do you go about it?
Yeah, I mean it's definitely not easy, because obviously you don't want to let in bad goals, but it's not just you letting in a goal. You know, it's like your team. It's deflating for the team. You know, they have faith in you to make the saves you're supposed to make, and you know, coaches, fans, everybody. And so I try not to think about that at the time. You just try and, you know, put it aside for now. And there's plenty of time to go watch video and learn what you did wrong and worry about it later. But you can't dwell on it because, you know, 10 seconds later, you got more pucks coming at you. And if you worry about that, you'll probably let in some more. So
I want to ask you this question, Scott. You know, you come to the Blackhawks. You've obviously been a big fan of the Blackhawks your entire life. You come here, you hear about this team, you hear about Jonathan Toews, Duncan Keith, the guys that are here. What surprised you? What impressed you the most when you finally came to Chicago and saw how this team operates?
You know, I mean, how much time you have? It's like everything. It's like, first of all, the fans are amazing. I know that because I am one. And, you know, we love the Hawks and we always, you know. You know, it's a pretty overwhelming feeling to walk into a locker room with those guys, so accomplished, some of the best players in the world, and for them to just be, they're just normal guys, you know, they just happen to be really good at hockey. So, I mean, they welcomed me in, and they treated me as an equal, and that meant the world to me, because, you know, like I said, I've been a fan, I've been watching these guys play the last, you know, however many years, and for them to welcome me in, and, you know, it definitely made my transition in the league easier because it's a pretty terrifying situation to step into. So that was impressive. And then and just the way the organization's ran, it's just first class, everything. They don't give us any excuses not to be ready to go. You know, they take care of us, anything we need, and, you know, whether it be supplements or extra workout stuff or, you know, just anything they can do for us. And there's just top-flight people working for the team, and it's just every day. It's just really lucky to go to the rink there.
Scott, thanks a ton for stopping by. I really appreciate the time and, you know, sharing the story. I know everybody else here does too.